LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy weekend, fantasy football coaches, and welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester. And since it's the weekend, it means DFS time. Here to talk to me about this Sunday's DFS slate is Doug Norrie of Daily Fantasy Sports Rankings, or DFSR.com. Hey Doug, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, how's it going? Excited to talk some Week 14 for sure.
It has been a pretty crazy day around the Sylvester household, but I get to talk about football for my job, so I'm not going to complain about anything, and this is going to be a lot of fun. I'll tell you, Doug, last week, I had the misfortune of building a super cash game lineup, and you're going to say, why is that a misfortune? Well, because I only had a pretty good GPP lineup in my biggest contest. Granted, the GPP lineup was enough to cash, but just knowing that if I would have used my cash game lineup in GPPs, I would have taken down the top prize in every GPP contest. I'm bummed, man. We're talking 180 points good. Isn't that just such a bummer?
Yeah, that's like one of my like small nightmares of the world is where things that sort of keep me up at night or that I panic about in the moment is that if I haven't exported lineups like to a tournament, and I almost like I've run into situations where I know I've done it and I just hope I don't win because I almost won't be able to deal with the mental anxiety of what could have been. So yeah, I definitely know that feeling for sure.
Doug, that happened to me last year, and what it was I had this great cash game lineup. And if Jordan Matthews would have gone for 12 points, I would have taken down the $1 million prize had I entered it in the GPP contest.
Yeah, that's the, you can't even call it a bad beat because it's a great beat because the things worked out. But then, I mean, the reason most people play DFS is for that kind of siren song huge prize. And it's one of those ones you're like, well, I'm not going to get many chances at it. And so the times where I do have a chance, let's just have it happen. And when it doesn't happen, it sticks with you kind of forever.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll still always remember it forever. Jordan Matthews went for 2 points that night, and I was never more happy with a player. Like, Jordan Matthews is still one of my favorite players just because he didn't make me, like, regret not putting that in a GPP for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah, you do. We talk about this mostly with NBA as well, but, like, you can have these guys that stick in your head as – you kind of love them or hate them, and it kind of, even though all the metrics can point one way or the other, but you just have an affinity or an aversion for a guy that either helped you or screwed you along the way. So yeah, I mean that's what makes it fun. Honestly, it still kind of puts the fan back in it, even if you spend all day looking at numbers.
Anyway, this week we have another great group of games. It's the biggest slate since week 3, so let's take a look at it. We'll start at the quarterback position. Do you see Drew Brees or Andrew Luck as the top expensive quarterback this week?
You know, it's funny. I don't love Brees. And this goes back to what you were saying a minute ago about whether or not short-term performances can affect the way we evaluate players. But because he was a guy we played last week, and I was like, oh, this is okay. Of course, this is going to be the one time he doesn't throw any touchdowns in the Superdome, where he just does that kind of unlock. He's not necessarily a top guy for me. They're underdogs to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's not they're not a bad defense overall. I probably would take Luck in that scenario. Breeze is a guy. I'm willing to admit that I just haven't been right on this guy all year, one way or the other, playing him or not playing him. But and like I said, those situations where he kind of just messes up your lineup, I'd probably take Luck in that scenario. Although I'll be honest with you, in terms of top price quarterbacks, I don't know if I'm going to play either of those guys this week.
I'm not either. I know a lot of people always like to play one of the top quarterbacks, and I don't understand that strategy of locking yourself into one decision every single week. But, a lot of people do it. And if you had to decide, it's tough. Tampa has been so good lately. But he's Drew Brees. And he's also in an away game. And then Andrew Luck, he's playing on a short week. He gets all those great cornerbacks with A.J. Bowie. All those guys in Houston, man. I mean, if they didn't have J.J. Watt out for the season, I'll tell you, they would have a really good defensive unit, because that secondary, it's impressive. It's really impressive. Then you've got Aaron Rodgers, obviously, at Seattle. Now, his salary is really interesting in FanDuel this week. His salary is number 10, and his projected points, number 3. So I think he's going to be really lowly owned. I don't think he's going to have a huge game. I wouldn't touch him in GPP, but for cash games, I would actually consider Aaron Rodgers just because he's so much cheaper.
Yeah, he's actually a guy that led our value plays article this week, and we're probably going to be a little contrarian, and it might just be a lot contrarian on him. The Seattle defense is good, but they're not. Sometimes we can get stuck in our heads about like what an elite defense is, and people like this happened with the Ravens for a long time, where you just kind of thought. I think we talked about this at some other point. I've said this a lot of times this year, but you can think that a team's still elite because past iterations have been elite. And this Seattle team is good, but they're not that same level of good still, I don't think. And I actually like Rodgers just more points than the two other guys you mentioned, just because the way Green Bay plays, they'll have to, I think, take to the air. He makes up so many points on the ground through his legs, especially when under pressure. I've kind of just been on Rodgers every single week for about last maybe 8 weeks, and I think you can go back that direction again this week.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's been throwing the ball so much, and he's been doing a real good job with it. He's got all those great wide receivers, and they just don't really have a running game, so it makes sense to go with Rodgers if you need to. Now, look, there's two guys I can't make up my mind between. They're both really good. We're going to get to them in a second, but first I want to talk about these value quarterbacks, because there's some guys sitting down there really cheap this week. They have some pretty good matchups. First, Bryce Petty at San Francisco. Matt Barkley, who's been throwing the ball really well. He's a $6,200 quarterback on FanDuel at Detroit. And then Robert Griffin, who, look, I'm not playing him in a cash game, but GPP, at that price, we know what he can do. And he's probably not 100% healthy, but he's a really interesting option. So of those three guys, do any of them intrigue you more than the others?
I'd probably take Barkley of the three, mostly because he has a game under his belt where he just was a high volume passer 2 weeks ago. Now, you have to kind of wipe what happened last week, just sort of off the slate. That weather was crazy. It was just a game that you really, I'm not sure how many takeaways you can really get from it, except that you probably can see that the Bears are still going to rely a lot on Jordan Howard. But I think mostly from, he's 2 weeks removed from a 300-yard, three passing touchdown day, and you just, not sure you can trust that on Petty. And so, and Griffin, the Browns are just so bad. I think so. Of the three, I would definitely take Barkley. He's another guy we wrote up in our value player article. I like going back to the well on him, especially if people get caught looking at recent game logs.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I like Barkley too. I'm not worried about the game in the snow. I just completely crossed that off his game logs. And if you do that, his season looks pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah. And they have a couple guys he can throw to. They're not great. Look, the Bears aren't a very good team, but they stand to play from behind. Detroit, they did well against New Orleans last week, so they're not a pushover. It's mostly just that I've seen him. He has a game of like that under his belt already, and I think that is just not something you can say for Petty. Although I will say the Petty's matchup is great against San Francisco is so bad. So that's the thing that actually entices you there. But he's coming off a game. It's not like Indy's any great shakes. He was 11 for 25 last week for no yards. It'd be really tough for me to probably talk myself into him.
Yeah, I'm not going to be playing Bryce Petty. I mean, at that price against that defense, it's definitely interesting. And look, I'm not going to be shocked if he ends up one of the top five, six quarterbacks of the week, even though he's kind of a nobody, just because San Francisco's that bad. But I'm not going to be the one who's putting the money behind that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm with you. It's just too risky. He's too much of an unknown. I mean, like, you watch him in college. He played at Baylor. He was like in a high powered offense there, but this is a totally different scenario here. And there's a reason he's been sitting behind the Geno Smiths and Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world. Like, and it's not because they're grooming him to be great. It's just because he's just not that good.
All right, so here's my two big guys: Russell Wilson at Green Bay and Kirk Cousins at Philadelphia. Kirk Cousins has just been so good lately. If we just lopped off the first 5 weeks of the season, we might be talking about an MVP here. He has been that good. Philadelphia's defense started off really hot. They haven't been as good lately. But in terms of projections, Kirk Cousins, a top 10 projected quarterback, we're projecting for 19.6 points. And his salary is all the way down at 7,600. That's number 18 for quarterbacks. Plus 9, that is the biggest on the slate for quarterbacks this week. How do you feel about Cousins and Wilson?
I'd probably be a little bit more on Cousins than Wilson. They got the Philly D got torched last week by Dalton. Like, he was pretty good
without AJ Green.
Exactly. And I'm going to get to Dalton's a guy I'm going to mention in a couple minutes, but, yeah, I probably would go the Cousins route simply because he has the weapons and I'm just not sure that Philly defense is what we kind of thought they were at the beginning of the season. Like, they've been dropping kind of in, especially in DBO rankings, like, as the season's gone on. So not like precipitous drops, but enough that they are allowing sort of more yards. And also it's because their offense isn't very good. And so they're just allowing more opponent possessions. I don't know about Wilson. I'm a little concerned with him. The fact that they're getting Rawls back sort of healthy, and that's a team that probably wants to run. And so I think between the two, I would go Cousins in that scenario. Though I'm pretty sure Seattle has more implied points, but I think that really comes more on the ground for them as well.
You know, I look at this matchup and I just think Pete Carroll's a really smart guy. Why would he be running the ball against Green Bay? Green Bay's a top seven or eight defense against the run this year. I know they haven't been as good lately, but they're so horrid against the pass. With Sam Shields out, Demaryius Randle's back, but he's not 100%. I just think that Russell Wilson torches this defense this week. I'm leaning towards Russell Wilson, so you're going to have to talk me out of it if you think it's a bad play.
No, I don't think it's just not. It's funny about the way quarterback play. This week is probably the closest of all quarterback decisions, I would say. I don't think the fact that, like, you and I, like, and every guy you mentioned here is totally viable, so it's not even a disagreement. But the fact that you can probably make good cases for seven or eight quarterbacks, and because pricing, it appears as if pricing has been trending more based on matchups. Like, but the sites have sort of figured out that you just have to tick up prices and down prices on quarterbacks in certain matchups. It makes these decisions really, really, really close. I suspect this week you see about as big of a spread. Like, for instance, Breeze last week was like 40% start in cash games or something like that. There's just not going to be anyone even close to that ownership percentage. And it just stands to reason, well, because, you know, you and I look at this stuff all day and we're kind of divergent in where we are thinking about maybe about quarterback. And so I think that's really what it speaks to. You're going to see ownership percentages sort of all over the place.
We don't have anyone in our projected ownerships above 15% at the quarterback position this week. That's only happened once all season. We have six guys above 9%. So you're exactly right. It's going to be all over the place, and this could make or break your week. It's tough. I'm probably going to change my mind like five times. I'm also looking at Phillip Rivers at Carolina. Carolina's been really bad. Phillip Rivers is always good. They have a really good offensive line. I just think this is another good game for Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, he's just an elite quarterback. He's almost underrated. I'm not sure if he's underrated or just like properly rated at this point, but he's not a guy that people talk about in this great sort of quarterback discussion, but it kind of doesn't matter who is on the field for him. He just always gets him the ball. And there's really something to be said for that. Like, he's sort of personnel independent. They've dealt with a ton of injuries this year on the offensive side of the ball. And the fact that he continues, it just kind of doesn't matter. Like, he makes guys like Tyrell Williams good. And there's something to really, really be said for that. He needs to pass a lot. Like, he needs to have his attempts sort of in that 40-ish range, I think, for me to feel good about it. And that's going to be tough against Carolina, who kind of plays slow. But, yeah, I don't mind it. Again, I kind of just, all these guys, of all the positions we had trouble, you know, we try to take our write up to like three or four quarterbacks per week just to not go totally overboard with how many guys we write up. This was the hardest position for us to really glean well, wide receiver wasn't easy either, but they sort of to glean like value of that was kind of popping out on the page, which quarterback just, I don't know. A lot of these guys are really close.
You know, in regards to Philip Rivers being really underrated, I would so much rather have him as my quarterback than Big Ben. I'm not talking about fantasy. I'm talking about real NFL than Big Ben or Eli Manning. The only reason Big Ben and Eli Manning are as good as they are is because of the coaches they've had, the scheme they're in, the players around them. Philip Rivers gets it done no matter what. He's a top six quarterback in the NFL as far as I'm concerned, and he just doesn't get enough credit.
Well, and also Ben has Brown and Manning has Beckham and Philip Rivers has like Travis Benjamin. You know what I mean? Like there's no even comparison with personnel. Like we saw what he did week one where he had a possession receiver. Keenan Allen was on pace. Keenan Allen was going to be like a top target guy in the whole NFL this season and then got hurt in that week one. And he doesn't, and it's a real shame too, because he was going to be in that sort of like, I suspect like 12 to 13 target a game guy just because Rivers is so accurate on those kind of throws. And then he just has had to make do with sort of like the leftovers, and it's a shame.
Now, you mentioned Andy Dalton before. What are you seeing in him this week?
Well, he's coming off a huge game against Philly. Well, again, like you mentioned, without AJ Green, which is promising. Cleveland is so bad. I just can't even. They're 31st against the pass in DVOA. I mean, 29th against the rush. So it's not like they can really stop anybody. The only thing. So, and this is funny, too, because the sites have clearly bumped his price, Dalton's price, to account for this matchup against Cleveland, because most people have just been running out quarterbacks, or a lot of people will just run out quarterbacks against Cleveland because they just can't really stop anybody. And my only concern with Dalton, I'm not so concerned about the matchup. I'm just concerned that they get up early. But I also think that it helps them that AJ Green's not there, because I think it's going to be harder for them to just blow out Cleveland. So I'm really just looking at the defensive matchup there. It's not, I really no great affinity for Dalton as a player necessarily, but sometimes the defensive matchup just trumps that, and I think that he is just in a good spot because Cleveland is probably the worst defense on the whole slate today. I mean, well, San Francisco too, but like we mentioned the problem with Petty. So after them, they're really probably, if not the worst, in the discussion of the worst defense on the slate.
Saying they're the worst is still an understatement. They're that bad.
I mean, they're like 32.5% like worse than average against the pass or something like that. Like that's just... It's horrendously historically bad. So that's where our system kind of takes those pieces and kind of applies it to, you know, Dalton's base performance. And again, he's not a great quarterback, but sometimes you just want to take the matchup more than anything. But I will caveat it by saying I am worried that they just lean on Jeremy Hill the whole time too, and that he just doesn't hit his price because the game script kind of screws him up. So that's my only concern with Dalton.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland wins this game. Cincinnati's defense has been bad in their own right. It's at Cleveland. You know, they're playing to make sure that they don't go winless the entire season. So I think the game script actually lends itself to Andy Dalton all right. I think he's going to be throwing the ball more than usual. The problem is, I'm looking at his game log, and, you know, he's been really consistent. He has at least 200 yards in every single game. He's got 250-plus in every game except three. He has a touchdown in every game except the one against Denver. He's really reliable, but he has no three touchdown games. And since week two, he hasn't reached over 325 yards once. I just don't think he gets over 350. I don't think he gets three touchdowns without AJ Green. So I'm not using him in GPP, but cash games, I think he makes sense. He was one of the first guys I considered. And then, you know, thinking about AJ Green, I kind of talked myself off him, but he's still in the back of my mind.
What do you think about Jameis against the Saints? Because he's another guy that's kind of showing up pretty high in our system. I don't know if he kind of falls into that same category for you.
Absolutely. I love Jameis Winston virtually every week. And I feel like, you know, it's just kind of getting old to our listeners how much I talk of Jameis Winston. But, you know, since the bye, he's had at least 16 points in every single game, and he's played some tough defenses in there. So, yeah, I think that he's going to be perfectly fine against New Orleans. I think he's going to be a little bit overowned, in my opinion, because New Orleans' defense is a lot better than people are giving him credit for. They've been pretty good lately. They've been getting to the passer, which is dangerous for Jameis, because Jameis under pressure is not a pretty thing. But with that being said, I would consider playing Jameis. The price tag kind of scares me off, because FanDuel, like you said, has been changing the prices for quarterbacks more. But, you know, I would definitely consider playing him. It's not a bad play at all.
Yeah, he's like, I think he's like fourth highest salary quarterback. He's a guy
tied with Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and the Tampa Bay has, I think, the highest implied total of the week. And also, one thing that might help him too, like they've been complaining this week about their running game. I'm not exactly sure why coaches say this stuff all the time, but they've been complaining sort of like about Doug Martin not getting it done. I'm not sure if they lean a little bit more on the pass, and especially if New Orleans can kind of keep pace. I think because Winston kind of really all these quarterbacks, really what you need at this point with quarterbacks is you just need to be a high volume passer, or you need to be able to run, or and preferably both. But like that's where Aaron Rodgers has so much value because he does both. Like he'll throw a ton of attempts and he'll run. Winston, he can run, but the volume isn't always there. And so that's really what you need to end up having. Like you need to hit on the guy that throws for 45 attempts, and not many quarterbacks are locks to do that. So that's where, and this is why all these prices on these guys are so close, because their performances are so variable based on, I guess I would just say, game script.
And Doug Martin's not exactly 100% healthy. He might not even play. And we saw what Jaquizz Rodgers did when he was the starter. It was great, but I think they're going to rely on Jameis a lot this week. I think it's going to be a shootout. That one should be a lot of fun. I'm starting to come around on Jameis even while I'm talking to you. The final quarterback I want to talk about, though, is Colin Kaepernick. He was really good until he played in the snow and got benched again. So what happens this week? He gets the Jets, who are terrible. Do you think maybe Kaepernick bounces back and gets another 25-plus?
I could see it. He was a guy, I mean, we had an artful dodge right at the end because he was a guy that was really showing up pretty high in our system last week in top lineups. And then the weather news came out, so we downgraded him and Barkley kind of at the same time, thankfully, because that was, I mean, I can't even explain. Everyone knows at this point how bad it was. It was just the bout as bad as you can ever be as a quarterback. He could definitely bounce back. He's for sure a tournament play because people are going to hate him so much because of the performance last week. My concern with him is the fact that the Niners were even willing at all to bench him during the game is a concern, right? And like, so the fact that like that very few quarterbacks are have that risk. Like no one we've talked about up until this point has any of that risk. And so the fact that you've even introduced the idea that he might just be bad and then get taken out is not a great sign. So that's like the only thing. If I knew for sure that they just were 100% were going to play him the whole game, I'd definitely go back to him. He's been really, really good from a fantasy perspective. But the fact that Chip Kelly has it even like as part of what possibly could happen, that just kind of scares me.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it scares me too. I would consider using him for GPP. There's a lot of quarterbacks this week. I mean, you said 7. I think you could make a case for 12 or 13, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun picking between those. So hopefully the guys listening can pick out a nugget that they really liked from this conversation and just cling on to it. But who knows what's going to happen, man. It's a rough week.
It was funny. I was talking to, we were talking about some of our data inputs today, and we were saying the quarterback play is so close this week that legit giving in our system about probably those 10 guys you're talking about, upticking or downticking their attempts, even by one or two, would just change all the lineups, right? When that's the case, when it's all that close, you can make a case for one running multiple lineups, especially in cash, because you can kind of reduce your variance a little bit. Or you just kind of need to lock in on a guy and just kind of, like I said, hope that this is the week that he throws for 45 passes. So it's really, really, really close this week.
Now, moving over to the running back position, I think this one is a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it for one reason. The ownership levels on David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott are going to be through the roof. They always are, and these aren't bad matchups. The over-unders on these games are fairly high, for their teams. And so I think they're going to be really highly owned. But I think LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray are both better plays this week. Do you agree?
No, I don't. I know the times we've talked have been pretty close in terms of general feelings about stuff. But to me, Bell and Johnson are just in just a totally different class of what they're doing and how their teams use them. And like, they're essentially, they're like a good running, a very, very good running back. And then a really good, like, middle tier wide receiver as well, like combined into the same guy. And so when you have that, like, you know, Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson are basically right. They're like DeMarco Murray. And then you also just get like 9 targets a game through the passing game and something like that. And when you have that, to me, I just can't. This is the new safety, because it's very hard to find safety at wide receiver this year. It's been a very, very variable. That's a lot of varies. But it's been very difficult to glean safe, high-priced wide receiver play from week to week, just because the targets haven't really been there for all these elite guys. But for Johnson and Bell, I don't know, man. It's really not close for me. Those guys, I'm going to play them in every lineup, both sites. I'm willing to play the price tag just because of the way their teams use them. Their overall touches are, I mean, Bell's averaging almost 29 between carries and targets, and then Johnson's at 27. And then you have to go down a 1.5 total to get to Gordon, and then almost 3 to get to Elliott. So I think that just the way their teams are using them, the safety is just, is, their floors are so, so high.
All right, I was just joking, guys. I like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell better than them. And no, it wasn't because Doug talked me into it. It's because I was ignoring my favorite metric. I wasn't joking. It was a mistake, and I was wrong. But listen to this. Okay, this is what I like to do. I like to look at what their GPP value is. So for David Johnson, he needs 29.1 points to hit GPP value. That's 3 times his salary. So his salary is 9.7 thousand times 3, 29.1. And then I like to look at our consensus projections. They project him for 22.6 points. So basically, if you take 29.1 divided by 22.6, that tells you how much better he needs to be than his projection in order to reach GPP value. For David Johnson, he needs to be 29% better. For Le'Veon Bell, just 24% better. And then the 3 guys below him, Elliott, McCoy, and Murray, 39% better, 43, and 39. So you're right, Doug. I was wrong. I mean, my most reliable metric says David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, even at their prices, are the best plays again this week.
Yeah, it's insane to think, too, because we're really reaching probably the upper limit of what at least Johnson's price is on DraftKings, $9,800. Usually, it's very difficult, at least for our system, for a guy at that price to get even in really the discussion, because DraftKings pricing is pretty sharp. It's kind of tough to make lineups as it is, just with the way they have sort of spread their salaries. But like I said, man, and their matchups aren't even bad either. Miami's not great against the run, Buffalo either. And if you're just a wide receiver and a running back, both, then you're just, that's kind of the difference between like a guy like for me and Elliott, let's say, or I don't mind DeMarco Murray, because I think Denver's slightly overrated defense, but yeah, I think these guys are just they're the new safety. Like, this is the new thing, especially in a week where there aren't really any running back punt plays at all, like cost-saving measures. These are guys, they'll be in every single cash lineup for me, both sites, and I can know that right now, like, pretty definitively.
So what other running backs do you like? I mean, if you're going GPP, we're talking about guys, Matt Forte gets San Francisco, Jeremy Hill gets Cleveland, who you already talked about. And I really like Lamar Miller at Indianapolis. I think he's being overlooked big time. So of those 3 guys, do you like any of them, or is there someone else in the mid-range that kind of stands out to you?
No, Miller was the guy I was going to mention, especially in DraftKings. The price has really dropped into that 5,000 range, which makes him, he's still pretty much the guy. As much as Houston can have a guy, their just team is just not that good. But he's coming, and he's 3 weeks away from a 24-carry game, and then 19, and then kind of disappeared for 14 the last time they played. I'm really actually for him looking mostly at the price, and Indy's not such a great defense. I think you can take a stab at him for sure. So of those guys, Miller would be my guy. It's funny too, because I haven't really spent a lot. I was so definitive on Johnson and Bell this week that I actually didn't spend a ton of time looking at for like cash games, but Miller was a guy that's pretty high up in our system.
Now on FanDuel, you're right. There is absolutely nobody who is a reasonable price to consider for a pump play. I mean, I know people are going to argue Jerick McKinnon's getting a lot more carries and he's only $6,000. But when you've got these other great matchups on the slate for the higher priced running backs, I think you have to go with them. So I don't even really want to talk about any of those lower guys for FanDuel. But for DraftKings, the prices can get so low. Is there someone that stands out to you down there?
I could like not in the 3,000 range for running back. I don't think like you said, like Miller in the 5,000, that to me strikes me as a bargain. If you knew on a week to week basis, like sort of what the Eagles plan was on the ground, those guys actually would be interesting. The problem is you just can't really know. And even when they say it, you're not sure. Like they'll say something like, oh, Sproles is going to get leaned on heavily. And then he just doesn't play the first half or something like that. Like, so in terms of the cheap guys, I don't think it's hard to find them. It's interesting though, when we got, look at guys like Miller, like Todd Gurley's down to 5,000. If you think that like their quarterback play has helped him at all.
Yuck.
I know he's kind of, but again, like I'm not saying this with any great confidence at all. I can see people playing Jordan Howard again, mostly because of the week he had last week. And the Bears have been pretty clear that they want to give him Now, again, last week was a little was crazy because they just had to run the ball because of the snow. But before that, he was seeing not elite level touches, but, you know, like that 20 to 25 between carries and targets a game. That's pretty good. And for his price, I could see people playing him mostly because they're going to also see like the 32 points from last week and think that that's the rule rather than the exception. But I still don't mind it just because I think that, look, this year is difficult to find teams that have just RB1 guys that don't share time with somebody, right? Or that don't play in a passing offense that's primarily passing offense. The list is really, really short. It's like, it's basically the three guys at the top, Elliott, Bell, Johnson, and then like Murray, Melvin Gordon, and then that's kind of like it. So, but Jordan Howard kind of does push up toward that second group of players.
A lot of people are going to be tempted, if Doug Martin misses the game, to just ride into Quiz Rogers. Hey, there's a cheap running back and he's going to start. But the thing is, Charles Sims is back and they like Charles Sims a lot. I know Rogers was great when he played against terrible defenses, but Charles Sims might actually get the majority of the carries. Either way, it's going to be a split. I think it's going to be a split, and I am not putting Jaquiz Rogers in my lineup, even if he's a starter.
This has been a problem all year, is that there really hasn't been a running back that's taken over for a guy who's gone out and just totally crushed it. Not that I can think of. Maybe I'm just too much off the top of my head here, but there's been weeks where we thought it was going to happen. Jaquiz Rogers was actually the one guy. Like, he came in the first week and he had a ton of carries, like 30 carries or something like that. But then his production kind of tailed off even when he still had the lead role. You know, you've seen guys like Devontae Booker. You think he actually gets carries. He kind of stinks. They can't do anything in their quarterback play. There really just hasn't been, you know, the Green Bay running back situation has been iffy all year. I'm closely just saying random things because basically we just haven't had punt play running backs this year that I can think of off the top of my head. And it's kind of just been a theme.
It's the complete opposite of last year. Last year, if you didn't play the punt play, you weren't going to win. And so everyone started out doing it this year, including myself, and it's not working. So you got to pivot. You got to start going the other direction here. And you're right. The new safe thing, instead of going with that safe new starting running back, it's Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, which I believe since the start of the show.
Just go with the guys. Go with the guys that are just getting these historic level of touches. The teams aren't going to change. And what I love, and just not to hammer home the Bell and Johnson thing more than I already have, but they're also game script independent. Like, they can be playing from ahead and they're great because the team leans on them, or from behind because they'll throw to them. So it kind of just like doesn't matter which way the game goes, they're still going to see their looks. And there's just so much safety in that.
Now, I've got to say, and this is a little bit embarrassing, but I'm intrigued by Rex Burkhead. He's 3,500 on DraftKings. He had 12 touches last week. And this week, I think they might. I already mentioned that I think Cleveland could win this game. But there's a pretty good chance that Cincinnati gets up two touchdowns and just start giving the ball to Rex Burkhead. You know, it's also full PPR over in DraftKings, and he's a nice pass catcher out of the backfield. I think that he can reach value. And, you know, if you think that the big plays this week, the explosive players are going to be at wide receiver, maybe you can be tricky and sneak Rex Burkhead in there, get some value out of him, and then go huge at wide receiver and quarterback.
The fact that they ran him 8 times last week is a pretty encouraging sign.
And he looked good, too.
Right, and he's taking over like sort of that scat back Bernard role that he's kind of taken over for them when they're not playing Hill. Yeah, I don't mind it, especially for the PPR thing. I get a little worried about players like that because you're never sure if it was like just kind of a game and it really kind of worked in his favor, but the Browns defense takes all that stuff off the table because they're so bad. So you can kind of make a case for like anybody to play. I mean, you could play him and Hill together in some scenarios maybe, and just say that you're going to get, if they're just going to ground and pound it the whole time, that you're going to get all the running back play against the worst team in the league. It's a weird stack to kind of do something like that, but it's not without some of its benefits, I don't think.
Now, we've got four superstar wide receivers, same as every week, unless one of them was on a bye or something. They all have decent matchups. Antonio Brown at Buffalo. Mike Evans at home against New Orleans. Odell Beckham at home against Dallas on primetime. And Odell Beckham, he loves primetime. And Julio Jones at Los Angeles. I don't really like that game script, but it's Julio Jones and it's the Rams. So you got to tell me, Doug, obviously you're not going to have much money, but if you do, if you're spending up on one of these guys, which one stands out to you?
I probably, now our system likes Brown the best, but I probably go Evans, and it's pretty close. He still is an elite target guy. He's actually been converting a little bit better, although he's had a couple of games. My concern with him, but it's really the same with all these guys. So it's like it's not endemic of just him, but they just don't see 13 targets per, like he sees like 11 and a half on average, but it's not because he's seeing 11 and a half per week, right? And so that's my concern. But I think the script for that game helps him the most. Our system is still pretty high on Antonio Brown. I get a little bit worried about his production. So I think between the two, I probably would take Evans. Julio Jones a little banged up for coming out of last week. I think he had like a turf toe issue. And then I've trended away from these guys mostly because I'm paying so much at running back this week that I'm not going to be going down this expensive wide receiver path. But I think of that group, I would take Evans.
I want them all. I want Brown, Evans, Beckham, David Johnson, and Le'Veon Bell. Maybe I can find a way to make that work.
Just roster all the most expensive players. We should email the sites and ask if we can just like get the salary cap lifted for this week, and we'll just play all the most expensive guys.
It might work. You know, quarterback is just so tough this week that maybe I'll just not have a quarterback and just go with those five guys.
Or just not play a tight end.
Or, you know, go with Matt Barkley and basically not have a quarterback, and then I can play two of these guys. And if I do, it's going to be Mike Evans and Odell Beckham. I'm a believer in the narrative of primetime wide receiver divas playing well, even though it's Dallas, and Dallas has a pretty good defense. They really do. It's mostly stopping the ground game, so I think Eli's going to air it out more. But, you know, he really only has eyes for Odell, and, man, it's primetime. It's a rivalry game. I'm really excited about Odell this week, but you're right. Mike Evans is the guy. If you're going to play one of these guys, I've got to say it's Mike Evans because of the volume.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I actually don't mind, like, so going down a step, and it seems a little crazy, but I actually don't mind a guy like Jordy Nelson this week. He's a little cheaper. That he's always probably about 15 to 20% cheaper than the guys above. I know he places Richard Sherman. The Seahawks are putting up some weird numbers facing wide receiver ones this year, like in terms of DVOA. Part of that is probably because they haven't played any great wide receivers. But we've seen Nelson's target share kind of steadily climb over the short term as he kind of, I think he's probably just getting healthier and getting more into rhythm with Rodgers. Again, I don't think many people are going to do it because they're going to look at Richard Sherman and just say, oh man, how can I do that? I kind of don't mind it mostly because he is, the target share has increased to the point where I still think they kind of go his direction. So I think it's going to be pretty contrarian, but I actually don't mind him like a kind of a tick below some of those guys.
Our model likes Jordy Nelson too. It scares me, but, you know, I trust our model. It works. There's a reason we're not changing the model. It's because we audit ourselves, and it's good. It's good stuff. So, yeah, I like the Jordy Nelson play, but he probably won't be in my lineups. I wouldn't turn anyone away from it, though. I'm pretty fond of Doug Baldwin this week. I already mentioned my affinity for Russell Wilson. He throws the ball to Doug Baldwin. Baldwin's been hot lately. He was hot in the second half last year. I don't know what it is. He's good in the cold. It's a good matchup. $7,000 for a guy who I think is a top 10 wide receiver when he's healthy and when Russell Wilson's healthy. So I'm probably going to have him in a lot of lineups this week.
He's right now in, I'm pretty sure, our FanDuel Optimal lineup if I run it. Yeah, he is. So yeah, I'm right with you. There's a group of players in this kind of price range that I think you can get away with. They're not going to be the elite 11 to 12 target a game guys like the ones we mentioned at the top, but they're kind of just enough if they're in that 8 to 8.5 to maybe 10 targets. If you can get like three of the guys that are going to see somewhere around there, Baldwin's one of those guys. There's a couple other ones, but yeah, I think this is where I'll go. I'll go into this next tier and a half down with guys like him, and there's a couple other guys sort of sitting below him.
Right now, our optimal lineup is completely in agreement with me for the first four players. Russell Wilson, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, and Golden Tate. I love Golden Tate again against Chicago. He's number four on the optimal lineup. And man, our optimal lineup's looking good, I've got to say.
Well, it's going to be funny because what's going to probably end up happening if your system and our system, which I mean, don't run in conjunction, obviously, we're just talking. But if we're producing very similar lines, it stands to reason that what you're going to see is you're going to see some weirdness at a quarterback. You're going to see some crazy high ownership percentages on those running backs. And then you're going to maybe see some high percentages on some of these receivers too, because if different modeling systems are kind of pulling out the same sort of opportunity, and got Baldwin and Tate are both in our lineups right now also, you might just see a ton of overlap in cash games this week. Tate's great. Especially with Jones not there, had a bunch of targets trended back up into double digits last week, caught that kind of long touchdown, which is a little bit fluky, but hey, he did it. He
was still, I'll take it.
He was still getting the looks, and he's just kind of the perfect receiver for a guy like Stafford because he can run a lot of possession routes. So yeah, he's a guy, the opportunity looks like it's back there, and I'm all in on him as well.
Our model is also really high in Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, I'm looking at this price. Is there something wrong? Like what is FanDuel seeing here? 5,900 on Emmanuel Sanders at Tennessee, who can't really stop the pass.
Well, short of just like showing you my email, I sent an email to James, or my business partner, that just said Emmanuel Sanders ? Like that was when we first ran the first set of projections for this week. Yeah, we're totally in line here. I'm a little worried about the quarterback play for him, and that's probably why the prices dropped. Like it's hard to get consistency out of those Denver wide receivers, mostly because whoever they're kind of trotting out there, Lynch, Simeon, they're just not very good. And that's where I get worried about for him. But then again, we get into these situations where price decreases on certain guys kind of just has you maybe needing to just do it and kind of hope for the best. So yeah, we're kind of, it's kind of scary how in line our systems are at this point with each other, because there's a couple other guys, but like, yeah, those are three guys that are basically all creeping into the discussion in terms of optimal lineups for us.
It makes a lot of sense. It really does. Now, someone that our ownership projections think people are going to be really high on is Tyrell Williams for San Diego. 12 points, 18 points, 13 points, 10 points in standard fantasy league. So that's not full point PPR. That's not half point PPR. But I'm telling you, I went on a rant with Chris Harris yesterday. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all because he's been touchdown dependent. He's the same amount of yards as Kenny Britt the past 4 weeks. And they're throwing the ball to Dontrell Inman a ton, who's far cheaper. Our system loves Dontrell Inman. Our ownership projections think Tyrell Williams is going to be really highly owned. So I'm zigging when others are zagging. I'm going Dontrell Inman.
Williams, the concern with him going into last week was he had a labrum issue, which I'm not a doctor, but in reading about it, the idea there was it was going to be hard for him to extend and catch, you know, which if you're a receiver, you absolutely have to do. And a lot of like what happened for him last week sort of bore that out. He went from his target percentage over the weeks before was 15% and then 28% and then down to 7% last week. That and I know he caught the touchdown, so the overall line doesn't end up looking that bad, but that's just that plus the injury is pretty telling for me, right? And so those two, when I combine the two things together, that actually had us downgrade him. We just manually downgraded the targets because of that, because I just was like, well, it appears as if the injury is a real thing, and if it's really going to affect how much they throw to him, then I'm happy to not play him this week.
Now, one guy that I am really excited about that's not in my lineup right now, but I might change my mind because he's pretty much just the best player ever, is Michael Thomas. Man, he is so good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's one of those guys too. Like I almost wish they just didn't have another couple weapons that they can throw to, because I think that you'd almost just see more out of him because he's so good. But Breeze just has options. Now, of course, not last week when I played Breeze, go figure. But most weeks the talent is there. He kind of just gets bit that they have a bunch of other players that they can throw to. And that's actually, it's more of a problem with the Saints as a whole. And it's a good problem to have. Like you want to have guys to throw to, but a guy like a quarterback like Breeze just doesn't need to hone in on a guy all the time because he can just make reads. And that's the only thing that really hurts Thomas. It's not his skill. He's great. But I just get worried when the ball gets kind of spread around to a bunch of different players.
Now, Doug, I know you're itching to talk about a bunch of other guys. So tell me, who else is on your list that you're considering?
Yeah, I kind of like T.Y. Hilton. I know he's coming off a big week, and I don't necessarily like to buy, again, based on just recent performance. But he's a guy, you know, has luck back and healthy. Houston's defense is kind of, you know, like you said, they're meh, but there's nothing that really scares you about him. He's actually converting more balls this year in terms of like his target to catch rate.
And he gets so many targets. I love T.Y. Hilton. He's matchup proof. He really is.
And his big problem in the past has been converting the targets. Like he'll get thrown the ball. A lot of deep routes will do this to a receiver, but he just wouldn't convert a lot. He's back up to like that 60% conversion range. And that is with that sort of top group. And if he's going to get like 11 targets from a healthy luck, then I think you're probably buying low on the fact that he's a guy who is priced in sort of that middle tier because the performances are so variable that you can just never get him up into the 8,000s because he'll just take a game off basically every other game. But I really like the matchup on him this week for sure.
you know, if you move down on this list of players who are priced a certain way, there's kind of a hole here. I kind of like Stephon Diggs, but he's banged up a little bit. Jalen Ramsey's probably going to be on him a lot. He just gets so many targets that I think you've got to consider him pretty much every week. And then there's just nothing. There's nothing that I like. I mentioned Dontrell Inman. I'm staying away from Sammy Watkins. I just think it's ugly. And then you have to go all the way down to Tyler Lockett, who, look, he was really good last week. And I know there's going to be some recency bias there where he's going to be highly owned. But again, Russell Wilson, Green Bay, and Tyler Lockett is finally healthy. And man, is he explosive. Maybe back-to-back weeks. What do you think?
He got buoyed by the rushing touchdown. So that helps him. The target share is fine at like 14%. I'm fine with it. I'm a little worried with guys like him that if Seattle just doesn't pass enough, that they guys like that can disappear. Probably not a guy I'm targeting. In that same range, I have, if Mohamed Sanu weren't to play, I kind of really like Taylor Gabriel, and he's a guy too. Like, he was way running hot based on just scoring these like 20-yard, 30-yard touchdowns, which is really pretty hard to do for any player. And like catch and run touchdowns, not being targeted in the red zone. But his target share, 15, 14, 14, and then 21 last week, that's pretty encouraging, especially if they're without Sanu. So I think if they were without Sanu and Jones is a little banged up, I could see getting some value on him just because they've been more willing to throw to him, like sort of in the short term.
Is there anybody else on this list that you would even consider playing? I kind of like Brian Quick, but It just makes me nervous to say a Rams receiver. It's a good matchup. He's really cheap. He gets the ball quite a bit, but I'm not really going to encourage anyone to play him. But he is someone I'd look at least.
Every week, these loser Ram receivers like kind of start showing up the top of our sort of value lists. And it's mostly because they have to throw the ball, but they just get such bad quarterback play, and it's really hard to, and then they'll just have like, they'll usually like just kind of enough to keep the, like the per target numbers in range, and the prices are so low. So every week I feel like I'm staring at one of these losers and I just can't. And then we end up downgrading them a little bit, and just to get them out of there. But it's not that they're cheap, but they're kind of just cheap for a reason at this point. So yeah, I mean, our systems are kind of like in lockstep on that, where these guys do jump to the top. Quick is up there. He was like fourth, I think, in terms of overall points per dollar value. But, man, it just can't. It's really difficult to stomach.
Now, tight end, it's never really that exciting. It just basically comes down to which guy are you going to take a big guess on, because tight end has been so volatile this year. There's always these random guys, whether it be Martellus Bennett who jumps up to the top, or Lance Kendricks has a big week. Who do you think it's going to be this week? At least, who are you willing to tell people that it's probably the safest play?
This is the hardest thing week to week, man. It really is. The state of the current NFL, tight end is just, you're kind of just hoping for a touchdown, you know, like you're just kind of sitting there and you take a look at the list and you think, I'm going to hedge my answer by giving a long explanation of why I hate the position. But like it's been the single hardest position to fill on a week to week basis. And it just isn't getting any easier. There's guys, I probably at this point, just because of price, I don't mind a guy like Zach Ertz, just because Wentz has been able to throw to him. And I say consistently, I'm saying it consistently relative to the rest of the position, not in terms of just, you know, consistently like compared to wide receivers. Because I think the big mistake you can make at tight end is you can pay like wide receiver 2 prices for a guy who just sees so much less production than a typical wide receiver 2. Like, so for instance, you can talk yourself into a guy like Jimmy Graham, who's been decent, right? And they've kind of upticked his target percentage over the last couple of weeks, but he's the same price as Golden Tate. And do you really want to play, like, if you're forced to choose between the two of them, like it's sort of in the same price range, like you're not going to find a wide receiver lower and a tight end higher. So I think that's the problem with sometimes you can end up overpaying a tight end because these guys just don't see that many targets. So I don't mind Ertz. And then I think you're just kind of doing the touchdown dartboard and hoping you kind of grab one. It's between maybe some other cheaper guys.
I know everyone's going to be mad at me for saying this, but I just don't have an answer this week. There is nobody at all that stands out to me. I'll say this, our system likes Vernon Davis if Jordan Reed's out. So that's probably who I'll go with. Fedorowicz, he's got a chance at a touchdown. It's a pretty good matchup. His price isn't bad. Cameron Brate, who makes me want to puke because I don't think he's very good, but, you know, the experts like him. Our model likes him. So, you know, if I'm going to do something, I'm just going to trust one of the models. They also like Jimmy Graham, so. Look, it's ugly, and you're not alone in thinking that it's ugly if you're listening to this show. Good luck. Good luck.
I think it's just fine to say you don't know. I think the tight end, we have so many consecutive weeks now of just really bad, hard to predict tight end play that I think it just is okay to say, we just don't know. Like the way the NFL teams are using their tight ends is obviously decreasing. The elite guys just kind of aren't there anymore. And well, Gronk's just not playing at all. Reed's been hurt. Olsen's just been an expensive guy that basically is just as variable as these cheaper guys. And you just are. And whenever situations like this occur in any DFS sport, when it's unknown, it almost never makes sense to pay up for unknown, right? Like you almost always just need to go cheap and just sort of hope to get lucky. And I mean, get lucky, like get it like a Jermaine Gresham touchdown, you know, like, and they've thrown to him a couple times in the red zone. And that's kind of almost enough. And the biggest mistake you can make, I think, is overpaying for a name because you think they're safe. And that's just not the case at tight end.
If I had to give you guys one more name, Gary Barnidge right now, don't look, but he's the minimum price. He's $45,000, and he has the best matchup for tight ends against Cincinnati. We saw what Ertz did to him last week. It's a home game. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Robert Griffin throws to the tight end quite a bit. It's just the type of player that he is. Now, listen, Barnidge is banged up. Make sure you monitor the injury status, and he hasn't been getting thrown the ball a lot, but it's a different quarterback. It's a different matchup. And maybe it works out for you. The minimum price, I'm intrigued by this one.
Yeah, I am too. I loved him going into the season. Our system did too. We kind of had to take a hard look at him because I think we played him the first couple weeks for sure. And he's just fallen victim to the fact that he's been a little bit hurt. The Browns are really bad. The quarterback play has been kind of all over the place. But again, he's tight end to me is like just total shrug your shoulders territory. Like, it's just like, I don't know. And I'm doing it right now. I'm shrugging my shoulders because each guy looks worse than the next. So again, when that's the case, go cheap and just fill out the rest of your lineup with kind of high target guys that you can kind of feel better about.
All right. Defenses, Minnesota. This is a lot easier, right? Minnesota at Jacksonville. You just want to move on.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. I actually don't mind, like, if you think they get into a shoot, do you think they can grab some interceptions? I don't mind Seattle a little bit because Rodgers does take sacks. I wouldn't do it in cash, but they're just pretty cheap. Like, they're $4,700 on FanDuel. Again, it's a good offense, which scares you a little bit, but I think that it's not a bad way to pivot in sort of tournaments if you're looking to just kind of grab some upside because their defense is decent. But Jacksonville's just so bad. The problem with Jacksonville is they end up always coming back like at the end of the game and just like putting up like 16 points or something like that. That just kind of rubs off some of the points right at the end. But I'm pretty much with you on Minnesota here.
You know, I love to look at the weather late in the season and find a game where it's snowy or where it's really windy. There's nothing like that this week. I mean, the Monday night game, it's probably going to snow a little bit. It's going to snow in Indianapolis, but they're going to close the roof, right? The only other option is Arizona at Miami, and it's not going to be that cold, but it's going to be really windy, and it's going to be raining. So Ryan Tannehill, he throws his interceptions. I'm intrigued by Arizona as well.
Yeah, I think that they're not that expensive. The defense is decent. Miami, it's hard to even know like what they are at this point because they look like they were going to be a great running team sort of when they get Ajayi, but that hasn't panned out. They've lost a ton on their offensive line. I think they were down 3 offensive linemen last week or 2 weeks ago, which really is just going to hurt their chances of just, I don't know, maintaining safety sort of in their backfield in the quarterback play. Arizona's a decent defense. I think the Titans are kind of in there too. Like Denver's just not a very good offense. Titans, again, are like not a very good defense. But if you're just targeting teams that just have trouble moving the ball in general, Denver isn't really getting anything from their quarterback or their running backs. And so, and they play so slow that it's hard for them to put up a ton of points. So I'm kind of just like grasping at straws here in terms of just pace of play, but I don't mind Tennessee from that point of view.
You know, it's really hard to not talk about the Los Angeles Rams. They're going up against Atlanta. So Atlanta's definitely an option. You can't go defense without talking about the 49ers, and they get the Jets. The Jets have been terrible, so I'm not going to do it, but it could make some sense. And then finally, obviously, you got to talk about Cleveland, and they get Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense has not been very good, but it doesn't really matter when you're going up against Cleveland.
And they price corrected a little bit. Like Cincinnati's $5,000. They're, I think, the most expensive on FanDuel at this
they
point.
They are.
Right. And that's specifically because, you know, whatever the algorithm is, it has Cleveland in one of the columns, and that, and that, you know, gives a multiplier to whatever the price is for a team like Cincinnati. So I think teams might do it. I mean, like the fact, or excuse me, players might do it, and you might find enough savings that you could probably make a case for the Bengals. Again, though, defenses, you can get safety and just playing bad teams, but then you always just run up against the just the luckiness of a pick six or something like that. And when that's the case, and when like you can just skew really crazy standard deviations on team defenses because of those pick sixes, it just typically doesn't make sense to pay up a ton if you can just get like, you know, the Vikings for 200 less or something like that. So yeah, that's kind of where I am.
All right, Doug, let's close this out by talking about some stacks. Who is the safest stack this week?
Yeah, I think just because of the implied total in the defense, I think that, and it's funny too, because based on, if his targets were more consistent, he'd be much more expensive. But I think just pairing Jameis and Evans together and hoping that you get like that 16 target game out of him, because he's shown that he can do it. It hasn't really been there in the short term, which has kept the price sort of in check, but this is just such a great spot for those two guys. And you also, by doing that, you simply cannot pay for the two running backs either. So pretty much, unless you really just punt the rest of it. So you're almost going to get separation on ownership just by playing a expensive wide receiver this week, if that makes sense, because you just simply can't make the lineup otherwise. So I like the Winston and Evans stack. Vegas seems to like think they're going to put up points, and I do too.
I feel like you can almost always say Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. It is really safe. I don't think it's going to be great in GPPs because I'm sure there's going to be one other that goes off. I mean, Buffalo is not just some kind of pushover, and all those guys are expensive. But for me, I think the safest stack this week is Phillip Rivers, Dontrell Inman, and Antonio Gates. I know that sounds weird because I didn't mention Gates, but Carolina is really bad against the tight end. They just force feed him the ball even though he's old and not very good anymore. But I love Inman's value. I'm playing him in a lot of my lineups. And I already mentioned Phillip Rivers. Carolina's going to give up some points, an implied total of 24. It might end up being a shootout. So I think this is a pretty safe one. I'm probably not going with a stack this week, oddly.
I think you'd also throw Melvin Gordon in there too. Like if you want to get away, if you want to pivot off one of those big running backs, Gordon is a guy that is creeping up to the touches that those other big guys get. And that's mostly because they use him so much in the pass game. He is a guy that you can pair with Rivers in stacks as well. And again, like every time you play a guy that's not Johnson and Bell, you're getting a little bit of separation just because I think those their two ownerships are going to be so high. So yeah, no, I think, and those running backs that they get used in the pass game just have so much value. So I would actually throw him into that group as well, which is a group I definitely am on board with as well.
Now, how about a contrarian stack?
I would go Rodgers Nelson. Like, I don't think people are going to do it, and because it's against Seattle. And I just think that there's enough targets kind of maybe possibly going his way. Rodgers does enough on his own to just sort of hit value even when the matchup isn't that great. And so, and he's the price just hasn't really climbed too much. So I don't think people will do it because they're going to look across the thing and just see Seattle and just say, no thanks. But I'm definitely going to put together some Nelson Rodgers lineups in tournaments this week.
You know, if you want to go contrarian, you could always go with the San Francisco offense. I know a lot of people are going to be off Kaepernick, but look, they're playing the Jets. The Jets gave up 40 plus points last week. And they have not done well this season, except against Los Angeles, which really, that doesn't count. So, I don't think they're going to be able to stop San Francisco. San Francisco could explode here. And if they do, someone's got to put up the points besides Kaepernick. I mean, Kaepernick might get 80 yards on the ground, but he's also probably going to throw for two touchdowns if that's the case, maybe three touchdowns. And if so, I know Quentin Patton has had two rough weeks in a row, but Kaepernick has shown he likes throwing to Quentin Patton. Quentin Patton's getting healthy again now. And who knows, man? Maybe he goes for 102 touchdowns. It could happen in this matchup.
Well, remember, Kaepernick is just 2 weeks away, or 2 weeks removed, excuse me, from 113 yards rushing. Like, no other quarterback can do that, really. And, or very, very few can do it. Or just willing to do it, because most of the times teams will just scold them for running too much because they're going to get killed. But, like, I don't think the 49ers really care about that with Kaepernick too much. He's, you know, 2 weeks away, removed from a 10 rush, 113. And then 2 weeks before that, he had 10 rushes for 55 yards and a touchdown. There's just, that's value that you just can't really find from any other quarterbacks. And that's like two passing touchdowns just on the ground. And so it's more, actually. It's like 2.5 passing touchdowns just on the ground. Very few quarterbacks can do that. No one's going to play him because they're going to look at the past week. And I think you just play him like as like sort of like a naked quarterback in terms of like you don't need to stack anyone with him just because he makes up so much of his value on the ground.
Be warned, though, you might end up with 3 points.
Oh, yeah, or less when he gets benched.
All right, Doug. Well, that's all the questions we have for you this week. As always, it was fun. It was good talking to you, especially since you validated a lot of my opinions. And same. I'm looking forward to seeing how these work out for us.
All right, man. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And look forward to talking again.
It's our pleasure. Take care, Doug. And for those of you listening at home, that's our last show of the week, but we have three more great shows coming up next week. Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus, who's one of our most accurate experts this year. James Coe, Emmy Award winner of NFL.com. And Notorious, who 2 times ago when he was on the show went and won $100,000 that week. We've got three great guests. I hope you guys tune in for those shows. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.